But anyway, there in Cilicia, he would leave by way of the Cilician gates. He'd go to the northwest. And these gates were an opening in the Taurus Mountains to that was the regular pass through there. But they came then to Derbe. Remember, on the first journey, they turned around at Derbe and went back. So now Paul goes to Derbe. And I'm sure on this mission, he's showing all of them the letter that from Jerusalem regarding the Gentiles. Actually, he had two purposes on this journey. One was to show the letter of the Gentiles, and another was to collect the money that they had promised on the first journey. And so we'll see that later on if we can get that far. But anyway, at Derbe, no mention of anything other than the visit to Derbe. And then he goes to Lystra. Now, Lystra was where he was stoned before. And there he finds a very unusual young man, apparently a convert of the previous journey. But this young man was well reported of by all that were in the land. And this young man, of course, was Timothy. Now, Timothy's mother and grandmother were Christians, and Paul mentions those in his letters to Timothy. But Timothy's father was a Greek. And his father had not had Timothy circumcised. Now, Paul is delivering this letter that circumcision is not important, not necessary for salvation, but he then has Timothy circumcised. Now, the circumcision of Timothy had nothing to do with the salvation. But he said in 1 Corinthians 9:20, 22, that I have become all things to all men, that by some means I may win some for Christ. So this, Paul knew that Timothy would not be allowed in any synagogue as long as they knew he was not circumcised. So he had Timothy circumcised, and then Timothy joined with him and Silas as they continued their journey. Well, they would have gone from Lystra to Iconium to Antioch of Pisidia. And then from Antioch of Pisidia, Paul wanted to go down into Asia. Now, his policy in evangelism was to find a major city and convert those there and then expect them to radiate to all the areas round about. Well, the Spirit said no. Then they thought, well, Bithynia up to the north, maybe that's the way to go. They said to go to Bithynia. Spirit said no. And so they were directed by the Spirit down to the city of Troas. Now, Troas was a major harbor there near the Dardanelles or the Straits of Gibraltar. But their destination was not to be in Troas, because in the night, Paul had a vision, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now remember, Macedonia was northern Greece. And for the first time, the gospel is about to go into Greece. But there's another thing there at Troas. In reading Acts, you'll find these words, and we decided. We decided. So that you go into the we and the they passages. Luke joined them in Troas, and he was to go with them on the journey. And so they got a boat, sailed over to Salome, which is about 10 miles south of Philippi. And apparently Philippi is a Roman colony, had been established in the big days of the Hellenistics and was named after Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great. But as they were going into the city, Paul noticed over by the Ganges River, there was a place where people were meeting for prayer. And he went on into the city, not enough apparently for a synagogue. The Jews said, for a synagogue, you've got to have 10 men of leisure. Now, by that, they meant 10 men that could be at every service of the synagogue, because they didn't believe that having less than 10 would be a lawful assembly. And so apparently they didn't have that many in. And someone, though, had met there on the riverbanks for a prayer service. Well, they go into the city. Sabbath day, Paul and his companions come out and worship there at the Ganges. And they meet this woman, Lydia. Now, Lydia was a seller of purple from Thyatira. And having that job shows that she was a wealthy woman, because purple was the royal color, and purple garments were the most expensive. You remember the rich man in Luke 16 was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. So she was a wealthy woman. This purple dye that they had to take small little crustaceans from the ocean and then scrape out that purple powder. And think of how much had to be scraped out even to dye one garment. So a wealthy woman. And she had her companions there. And Paul went out, met her, and then taught her and converted her, she and the whole household. And then she said, if you've judged me worthy, stay with me. Well, apparently she had a large enough compound that these four men could stay there and not bring any scandal on anyone. So they did stay there. Well, Paul went from her house into the city to teach each day. But then he was aggravated because this woman had a devil in her that gave a spirit of divination that gave her soothsayers or fortune teller powers, and apparently some very good. And she said, these men are servants of the Most High God. She kept following them all along. These men are servants of the Most High God. And Paul got irritated, and he knew, though, if he ever cast that demon out of the woman, and the means of the money-making was gone from the owners, there was going to be trouble. But finally, he had it long as he took it long as he could and cast the demon out of the woman. And when he did, she lost her power, and the owners of the woman went to the magistrates of Philippi and said, look, these men, being Jews, have customs that we Greeks can't bear. And so the magistrates of the city came and tore their garments off of them and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And it said they laid many stripes upon them. Now, the rod, the Jewish law said 40 save one. Said you can do 40, but if you miss it, well, each one you go over, well, then you get a lick yourself from the whip. But the Romans had no limit to how many they could hit them with. That. So they were beaten. And then the magistrate said, now, to the jailer, put them in jail, hold them fast. And so they are chained there in that Philippian jail. But at midnight, Paul and Silas are singing hymns to God. Prisoners are listening. And everything seems to be going well. Then suddenly, there's an earthquake. And the foundations of the prison were shaken. Every man's bonds were loosed. Every cell door was open. Well, of course, the jailer woke up, came and saw that, and immediately started to fall on his own sword. He knew that Roman law said, you have a prisoner, he escapes, it's your life or his. And so he said, surely the prisoners are gone. But Paul said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. And he came in and fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. Then he took them into his house, and there Paul preached unto them that they might believe, and then went the same hour of the night and was baptized. He washed their stripes, and so the jailer was converted. Well, the next day, the jailer apparently thought he had good news for Paul and said, look, you're free to go. And Paul said, no way. Here they take us who are Roman citizens, untried, and beat us, and now they want to sneak us out. We won't do it. We're not leaving. Tell them to come and bring us out. Well, Paul knew that if they just left, well, then the possibility of the whole event would hinder the work there. And so they came and begged them to leave. And when Paul had saluted the brethren, he then left. Now, Luke did not leave. He joined them at Troas and now goes to Philippi and remains there. But Paul and his other companions go through Amphipolis and Apollonia and come to Thessalonica. Now, Paul, or not to Thessalonica, to Thessalonica, or Thessalonica, and there over 3 days Paul preaches to them. Well, soon trouble is stirred up. They'd been staying in the house of Jason, and they got worded in advance and sent Paul on. But they came to Jason's house and got him, but Paul could not be found. But Paul went on down about 50 miles further to Berea. But he sent back Timothy and Silas to check on the work there at Thessalonica. And apparently both in Philippi and in Thessalonica, there was a great reception of the word. I guess Paul's favorite church was the church at Philippi. While he was there at Thessalonica, they sent twice to his support. And we don't read of any other church supporting him that way. And in fact, the Corinthians, Paul refused any support from them. But later on in Paul's ministry, they sent to him a third time. But while they are in Berea, it says the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness of heart, searching the scriptures daily to see whether or not the things Paul spoke were so. Well, things are going well there until here these Judaizing folks that Jews keep following Paul and stirring up opposition. And so Paul is sent over to the coast and on to Athens. In the meantime, he asks his companions to go back and check on those. And in a matter of 18 days or 18 months, year and a half, Paul wrote two letters to the Thessalonians. And in them, he expresses how that their faith had gone forth not only from Macedonia and Achaia, which is the entirety of Greece, but in every place, people had heard of how they had responded to the truth. Well, Paul goes to Athens, And when he gets off the ship, starts up to the city, he sees the street lined with gods. And there's one that got his attention. And this said, to the unknown God, if there's one we don't know, this is his. Well, when he came in, they said, let's see what this babbler will say. And Paul spoke to them, and he told them that God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by man's hands, as though he hadn't eaten anything. But then he said, he has appointed a day when he shall judge all men by the one whom he hath appointed, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The results in Athens were very poor. You know, Athens was noted for the intellectual capital of the world. Back at the 14th and 4th and 5th centuries, you have Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, those great Greek philosophers there. But anyway, he left Antioch, or he left Athens, and no result much. There were a few that did respond, but he is now going toward the city of Corinth. Now, Corinth was the capital of Achaia. Macedonia, Greece was divided into two sections. Top Macedonia, and that included the churches like at Philippi and like at Thessalonica and Berea. And then you come to Corinth, and there you have a big city, thriving city, very rich and very wicked. In fact, Strabo said that the temple of Athena, just one of them, had 1,000 prostitutes that served the city. And I was over in that area one time, and the guide said that these women that came down had on their shoes sort of indented like spikes, but the words, "Follow us." And so they walked around the city, and apparently by the thousands they followed her. But before they get to the city of Corinth, we go back and think again about the second purpose of why this was to make the collections. Now, you know, Corinth was the first one to pledge. And Paul said, "Now you lay by in store every first day of the week that there be no gathering when I come." And now he wants to be sure that Corinth has their gift ready when they get there, or else it's going to be very embarrassing, because these other churches have, especially those at Macedonia, have been told that Paul, or that Corinth, has been ready for a year. And, you know, Paul had a way of taking one group and praising them to another, and taking another group and praising them back. Well, he had used the Corinthians to encourage the Macedonians in their giving, and now he wants to be sure they're ready, and then he encourages them in encourages Corinth by the giving of Macedonia. And he said there in 1 Corinthians 8, "Let me make known to you the grace of God that has been given to the churches of Macedonia, how that in much affliction and deep poverty it has abounded unto the riches of their liberality." They had trouble, they had poverty, and yet They were very liberal. Paul said they didn't give like they wanted, but they gave beyond, because they first gave themselves to the Lord. And so he is encouraging the Corinthians now, you be ready when you get there. Well, Paul had been beaten in Philippi, been run out of Thessalonica and out of Berea, and had that opposition everywhere. And as he's about to go into the city of Corinth, he thinks about the wickedness in all of the city. Incidentally, Greece is almost cut in two at one point where Corinth was. There was a 14-mile stretch of land in which, right where Corinth was. And the Adriatic, the entrance into the Adriatic was so rough and so hard that there's a saying, sailor, make your will before you enter the Adriatic. Well, ships that were coming and wanting to go up the Adriatic into the Black Sea and on into that area, they would come to the Sardonic Gulf, which was over on the right side of the of this divide of where Corinth was. So Sardonic Gulf here, Adriatic over here. They would come and unload their goods here, transport them over, and have another ship over here to take them. Or if they had a small boat, they would take it out and put it on rollers. They had logs, and actually bring the ship across that 14-mile strip. Well, and with all of this, Corinth was collecting the fees and the taxes and everything. And so this is a reason for their wealth. Now, in Corinth, with all the reputation of it, Paul had to be pretty nervous. But God said to him, Paul, don't be afraid. No one will lay his hand on you in Corinth. And so there's the guarantee from God that he would not be hurt in the city of Corinth. Well, he stayed there for 18 months. He found a couple there that were his friends for the rest of the life. That was Aquila and Priscilla. And since they were tent makers, and Paul was a tent maker, he stayed with them, and they worked together, and then Paul taught at night. And so that went on, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So a very profitable ministry there at Corinth. But then Aquila and Priscilla decided to leave and go over to the city of Ephesus. Well, Paul went with them, and you have about from all Corinth to Ephesus about 250 miles. And there they wanted him to stay, but he said, not now, but maybe later if the Lord be willing. And he left them, set sail for Israel and back to the homeland about 600 miles, and went up to Jerusalem and told them about his travels and the results of it. And then from there he went back to Antioch to report to the home church there. And so this is, in short, the second missionary journey of Paul. Now, on the third missionary journey, he's going to be taking the money to Jerusalem and to deliver it to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. And you find on this journey that he has his former companions, and he picks up others as he goes along. You know, Paul said, "I take thought to be honorable in the sight of all men, and not just in the sight of him, but in God and man." And so when he would stop and they would bring their gifts, well, he would invite them to have their man carry their gift to Jerusalem so that no one would accuse him of taking from what was actually given given to the saints there. And in this way, he brought them back and helped them at Jerusalem. But when I think about Paul and his journeys and the zeal that he had for the Lord, it's amazing. It's amazing what that man went through. How many hundreds of miles he traveled. How many times he was mistreated, as he described in 2 Corinthians 9. And still faithful men of God unto the end, and never let anything deter him. I guess the greatest evangelist the church has ever known was the Apostle Paul. And just thinking about him and his way, I went a little more hurriedly than I thought I would go. So here I'm fixed up without any soap, and our time is not up yet. But as we study these Bible characters, remember the things that were written for our learning. And we learn how to behave and what we should do from these people. And it may be that in time we will be called upon to be persecuted. There may come a time when to say I'm a Christian would be putting a death penalty on you. We think not. But you know, a lot of things can happen in a very short time. If we had some discussion time, this would be the time for it. I wonder if anyone has a question. Pretty good when all questions have been answered. Well, I hope soon, rather than to be in a better health situation, and the teaching can be a joy, but I didn't realize when I volunteered to teach the book of Acts at this quarter that I was going to have the troubles I did. But who knows? Who knows? And maybe there have been some things learned, and some things put away. But I would covet your prayers, especially on Tuesday, and that Dr. Harrod, the one of my last surgery, and that Dr. Ahmed, the one to do the valve surgery, will have gotten together and decided it's time now. If we don't hurry up, he may have a heart attack and pass on before we can put a valve in. And some little pig somewhere has already volunteered to help. And so to have the valve, I may have to go on from time to time, but maybe not too bad. Yes, sir.
There in chapter 18, about the time that we see Apollos and his ministry, I think it's about verse 24. According to my calculations, that should be about 30 years after Pentecost when that takes place.
Pentecost 30, AD 30. You have the Jerusalem meeting at 50. And so there you have 30 years in between that. Some scholars say that Paul was converted about AD 44. And I don't know about that. And said that was... Also the time that Peter preached to Cornelius. I'm not sure about the date on Paul's conversion. I've heard more of AD 37 as a time for it. You know, but you think of the big times in Paul's life, like there at Philistia. And Lystra, and where you have this bond made. The friendship of Paul and Timothy was greater than that of David and Jonathan. And to think that here, this young man that he first is acquainted with for about 16 years. You know, Paul is thought to have been beheaded by Caesar in the spring of AD 67. And this was AD 51. So there's 16 years. That I doubt that many days went by without Paul thinking about Timothy and Timothy thinking about Paul. I know of an outstanding gospel preacher in bygone days that had a disciple that he thought would never turn aside. And he was much on education. And so this disciple went to Harvard, and at his first go, they turned him down. At the second one, and the teacher was telling me and another brother the same thing, with a sad sound in his voice. He said, Leroy said, Garrett, you're afraid to go out into the deep water. But then he said, and last time, Leroy said, they didn't say that to me anymore. And then with tears, he said, Leroy has lost his faith. And to put your soul and your heart in a man, hoping for his future, and then to have him to fail. Very sad. In a couple of minutes, the bell is going to ring, so you let your mind relax. God bless you. Have a good week.